Is the water in Dimock, Pennsylvania, really safe to drink? That's the question some residents are asking after a recent EPA study. Dimock has been at the center of a national debate over the use of a drilling method called fracking to extract natural gas. Dimock sits atop of the Marcellus Shale, which is very rich in natural gas. State environmental officials said drilling leaks had led to explosive levels of methane in some drinking water, and residents had sued the drilling company, Cabot Oil and Gas of Houston, saying their water is polluted with other chemicals from the drilling. Well, with us is ProPublica reporter Abram Lustgarten. His new book is Run to Failure, BP and the Making of the Deepwater Horizon. And we want to talk to you about BP, too, but first to Dimock and fracking, which you also cover. So tell us, what is the EPA saying about Dimock's water?
Well, at first, on March 15th, the EPA came out in kind of a surprise public statement. They were partway through a process of sampling the water there, and they made a public statement that said the water is safe to drink, that they hadn't found any contaminants that the public should be concerned about, and that everything was really looking good. This was based on 11 of more than 50 water sample tests that were to be completed. When you look at the tests themselves, it was a little bit more nuanced than that. There were detections of some carcinogenic compounds, and there was very high detections of methane, which was one of the primary contaminants of concern, the original explosion risk.
Those are all preliminary results, as I understand, but these kinds of contaminants make you wonder, are they looking for everything they could be looking for? And I understand you found that the standards don't exist yet for some of the chemicals they're finding in the water.
That's true. Drinking water standards exist for the most common chemicals that are out there. In drilling and in lots of industrial practices, there are many additional chemicals that don't have a standard. And that may mean that that there isn't a good measure about what quantity of them is actually dangerous. In this case, in Dimock, they detected a number of chemicals. The EPA has a rough idea of what level of those chemicals might be toxic to people. They say that the levels found in Dimock's water are below those levels, but there's really not a lot of research, and there's no research, for example, about what happens when multiple chemicals are combined. Do they have a synergistic effect on public health if they're consumed over a long period of time in small amounts?
And could they be dangerous? I mean, you reported on a woman's drinking water blowing up in the town. Are the EPA looking at those kind of high levels of danger as well?
Well, they should be, and they tell me that they are, and that's the methane issue. Four of the homes had high levels of methane, one at extremely explosive levels. It's absolutely a threat by both Pennsylvania state law standards and at least in one of these wells by EPA standards. The methane can collect either in wells or in the shower or in a kitchen if it's confined and presents an explosion risk.
Dimock is a national hotspot for concerns about fracking and its effect on drinking water. So I'm wondering, how important will these EPA findings be as more companies look to fracking and more communities raise concerns?
Well, no doubt all eyes are on Dimock. I mean, internationally, it's the focus of attention on this issue right now. And I think it really depends on which way, the science goes when they do complete their research. I mean, part of the problem here in the last week or two was trying to draw conclusions from really early results, and they need to go through their process and complete it. Finding some contaminants, first of all, it doesn't link it with drilling. There could be a number of things that are causing poor water quality in the Dimock area. But certainly if they find more, it will heighten the alarm nationally. If they find that it's mostly safe to drink, that could alleviate some of the concern. But so far, at least the methane that they're finding in the water there substantiates the concerns that people have had in Dimock and in Pavilion, Wyoming, and elsewhere across the country. And I think that at least aspects of their findings are supporting the claim that drilling presents some risk to groundwater.
Well, now let's turn to the Gulf and the BP story. That's the subject of your new book. BP recently reached an agreement to pay $7.8 billion to compensate thousands of Gulf Coast residents after the 2010 massive oil spill. But you write that settlement leaves the most complex claims unresolved. What's not resolved?
Well, none of the environmental claims have yet to be addressed by the court, and not the civil claims, which the court is currently looking at, or potential criminal claims that might be filed in the future. What the settlement had had to do with was business claims from business owners along the Gulf Coast and health issues. Really, like two of the peripheral issues that have been raised. The big outstanding question is how much environmental damage did the spill do in the Gulf? What's the lasting effects? How much oil was spilled? Both the states and the EPA have, or the federal government have lawsuits against BP on this matter, and that wasn't addressed at all in the settlement. Still could cost the company between $17 and $21 billion in the settlement.
Yeah, you also say that the payment, this isn't capped, so as you note, it could be a lot higher. But explain how this fund replaces the $20 billion compensation fund the company had set up with Kenneth Feinberg as its head, and the difference between the two funds, how lawyers might get money from some, but others are go directly to people affected by the disaster.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of details still that have to come out about exactly how this fund will work. So it's hard to say completely, but one of the key differences is what you mentioned, the stake of attorneys. What people can claim from the settlement is very similar to what people were able to claim through the fund that was administered by Kenneth Feinberg. However, with the legal settlement through the courts, lawyers will take a slice of that money before it makes it to the claimants, and that wasn't the case before with Feinberg. Now, there will be differences between exactly who can claim and for what, and perhaps how the money is administered. But there is concern among some of the plaintiff's attorneys that I spoke with that lawyers will take an undue slice of the reward here, and that may ultimately not be beneficial to the people who are harmed by the spill.
Well, you write that among the issues that are still outstanding over the Gulf and the BP oil spill is how much oil was actually spilled. And you're also looking at the company's overall track record. Could you briefly tell us about it?
The debate over how much oil is spilled is ongoing, and it is of great importance as the government decides, what the environmental fines will be placed on BP. I've been trying to take a little bit of a step back from that controversy and look at the bigger picture, and that's what my book Run to Failure is really about. It's drawing connections between a number of past accidents that BP had in the present, and finding that whether there were bad intentions or not, that there was a careless approach to safety and a real prioritization over saving money and cutting costs, over impacts to the environment and workers' health.
Well, we're going to learn a lot more about BP as all this unfolds. ProPublica reporter Abram Lustgarten, thank you very much.
Thank you.